Hello and welcome to this Life Changes podcast. You are now listening to one of our Sunday messages. If you'd like to know more about Life Changes, you can visit us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Now lean in and enjoy.
Well, in closing this morning, and just want to tell you, Gabe had 10 minutes on the plan. Just putting that out there. So just saying, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying that. That's all I'm saying. Really is quite overwhelming seeing some of those pictures and faces and stories, knowing some of the stories. And can we just pray for a second? Is that all right? Lord, we come this morning as we sang to behold you again, to say that there's none like you, to give you all great glory and honor and praise. Your church is yours. She's your bride. She, every person, every story. Some new unfolding stories. Some walked with you for many, many years. But yours, Lord. And I pray you would be honored this morning, King. I pray you would look to your bride. You would look to this part of your bride and find joy in your heart. That's what we desire. We desire to be a people where you desire to presence yourself. You desire to pour out your grace and your goodness and your glory. So we say this morning, God, as much as we would say we want to share vision and dream, Lord, we ask that our highest vision would be a vision of you, Jesus, always and forever. A high view of the King of Kings. Fresh revelations of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. We come this morning to worship you, King. Amen. Amen. It is good. It is really good to be together. Gabe and I didn't plan to wear check shirts together. That just happened. Sometimes God does these things. But are you well? I know some people are trying to work out, have they blocked up the windows? Is this whole day? No, we haven't. Just relax. There are still windows. Those are just very thin pieces of wood that cover them. Amazing what they can do. And if you missed the cell phone thing, it was pretty much all for that. So that you could see the cell phone thing. Go have a look at it. But we are jumping into a new year, and we're doing Vision Sunday a little bit later this year than normal. But 2016's been a big year for many. There's been some amazing moments. Currencies have risen and currencies have fallen. And amazing people have been birthed into new stories. And actually amazing people have been lost. Muhammad Ali and many others in a crazy year. There have been amazing growth in different areas. And in some areas the gospel is booming, like China and the Middle East. And in some areas the gospel isn't booming. But actually for us it's been a big year. And we said last year that God was calling us to pioneer again. And I think as we jump forward and look forward a little bit, it's really important that we understand where God has taken us and what He's done with us as we look forward. But I want to just position that, why do we do something like a Vision Sunday? Why is it important? Can't we just preach the gospel and get on with it? And yes, we do that every week of the year. But we want to take this moment to make sure that as a community, we are moving forward. First and foremost, we want to look back and say thank you to a good and faithful God, who is unbelievably kind, who continues to reach out His grace to those who are searching for Him, who continues to call in the lost, the broken, those stories. He continues to do that. He reaches into our smallness. The second thing is that without vision, the people perish. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 29. Without where we're going, we perish. That's what happens. We need a vision for our marriage. We need a vision for our parenting. We need a vision for our career. And most of us don't struggle with those. But then we speak of our church and say, God wants to take communities on stories. Why? So that the next generation might know Him, might worship Him, might see Him. I give my life for that any day of the year. Not just Vision Sunday. But to restate and the direction of Life Changes, and to re-speak about where we're going, why are we going that way? That you don't just come to church pulled into a story, oh, they're doing that, okay, not sure why. That we would understand why, that we would understand when we see photos like Tamron Pearson, a young girl, a high school girl making big decisions for Jesus, if you know some of her story, deciding to get baptized, deciding to make decisions to worship Jesus, we would keep pioneering so we can keep seeing stories like that. Because we need stories like that. Like Jerry leading worship this morning with courage. Saying, come on church, let's worship Jesus. Who arrived here, how many years ago, buddy? 10 years ago from Zambia. An incredible blessing. And then the last thing is that we have this pursuit, and it's not our purpose. But Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, 21, many are the plans. Many are the plans in a person's heart. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's always and only God. We can make a million plans, but God had other plans. He'll lead us, He'll guide us, and He'll show us. And if we stay on our knees and we keep pursuing, but it doesn't mean we dream, and it doesn't mean we look ahead and begin to enjoy what God is doing and has done with us. And so we're here, and like I said, last year was pioneer again. It's quite a big statement. We're a 16, 17-year-old church with many adventures in the past. Many different venues. The church used to move around from Virgin Active, before it was Virgin Active, Health and Racket. Who remembers Health and Racket? Used to meet in Health and Racket, and people on the walkers above them looking at them while they were worshiping at church. Who would have come to church then? All the runners looking at you while you were worshiping Jesus. That's this church. Then they were in a library. That's this church. Meeting in a home at the very start, 9 Jenny Lane. That's this church. And God has moved us on, and He's been incredibly gracious to us. But we felt He was speaking a word to us at the beginning of last year. And to be honest, we didn't fully know what it meant. And it was the word of, will you pioneer again? Will you pay a price again? Will you sacrifice again? Will you take some of your gifts, like Gabe and Fee and the many who went with the Milnerton story? Will you release them to pioneer again and to plant again? So we started off last year, and the big news was we were planting in Milnerton because we had a whole bunch of people getting in cars, driving past their neighbors, out of their suburb, through to us to come and worship Jesus together. We said, actually, we want to pioneer. We want to plant in that area. And so we planted Milnerton last year, and May was the official launch, and we really believe God spoke. And can I tell you, it's beautiful. Often, I'll have coffee here, we'll chat, and almost every second Sunday, I'll drive across and go connect with them just for a coffee at the end. And I'm meeting new people who live 300 meters from the school. They have young people who drive through from Camps Bay through to Milnerton to come and do church because they found something of the life of God there. Why? Because the community said, we'll sacrifice again. We'll sow our best again. We'll release our best again. Our best redheads. Let me just put that there. To all redheads, we love redheads. We started a new church planting strategy. We went with a redhead. It's been powerful. But actually, we love that couple. For me personally, to see Gabe and Fee and not see them every Sunday morning and find courage from their encouragement, personally, it was tough. But actually, I know on the other side of it, they are growing. People are being released. You know what's happening there? Is people who actually might not have got opportunities to preach, to lead worship. We needed to double worship teams. Double people to lead meetings. Double people to serve. It's been incredible. And I get to go through to them afterwards and share some of the excitement. But we said we'd pioneer, and we didn't realize what it would mean. And then at the end of July, Wally and Shirley, who pioneered this story. And in my head and heart, we're here for the next 10 years. Because that's what we dreamed together when we came down. Wally said, would you come down and can we stay and can we build together? And we said, yes, we'd love to do that. But then on a plane at 24,000 feet, Wally said to me, Mark, I feel God's calling us to pioneer again, to uproot ourselves again, to go on a new adventure and to say, actually, we're going to become available to local churches again. And we've sown our best. And maybe you've just arrived and you have no idea who Wally and Shirley are. And I should have put a photo of George Clooney up because we'd probably remember him that way. But actually, we've sown our best, and we truly believe that when we do that, God honors, God releases, and God sends as we understand His economics of giving and growing. We have grown in levels of serving, and I want to commend this, and Gabe's right. We're not big numbers people. We don't sit down, how many people at church. We're not those guys. But it's important for us because it's helpful for us to know as indicators of life. And part of that, and the big one that I celebrate is the number of people who've said, actually, I want to get involved in the story, but I want to be a part of something. I want to give my time to something. And serving for me is not about pulling off a Sunday. I've been to churches that hire 2 or 3 people. They set up all the chairs. They make all the coffees. They do all the coffee directing, and no one does anything. And I think what you lose there is the opportunities that are created to build relationships, the opportunities that are created to engage and to find new people that you would never know outside of spending time together, maybe before church or after church on a different moment. And so I would highly encourage, if you're not involved in that story, it's not about pulling off a Sunday. Honestly, we could pull off a Sunday with 4 or 5 people just doing that. We could do that. But I have a philosophical challenge and a belief that God has called us to make sure that this is not about the few. This is about the many, and our lives are involved. And I'm telling you, discipleship happens in serving. When I see, where's Mona Lisa? Are you here this morning? She is, where are you? I remember about 6 months ago, I walked into the it was late, everyone was gone. And we were locking up, and I went into the kitchen, and Mona Lisa was there with her team. This is a mother of two. She's a working lady who gets home quite late, as I understand it, most nights. She had baked a cake, brought it because someone in her team had had a birthday. And maybe that person would only have got a birthday cake here because they're in Mona Lisa's team, because she decided to serve. I don't know about you, but I want to do church with life, like with people like Mona Lisa, and make sure that my life is engaged with people from different stories. So thank you. And we've seen growth and refocus, and we're going to continue to speak about that, but life groups. There is growth, and growth is amazing, and I want to speak about that now, but there's got to be health. And I'm convinced that health happens in smaller groups. It doesn't happen in rows. This is moments where we engage and we can teach and we can reach a broader audience. But there's got to be moments where the circles are made around dining room tables. And we share different food because we come from different nations and we talk about our backgrounds. And then the gospel breaks in and truth explodes. And that happens in small groups. And if you can't get there on a Tuesday or Wednesday night when they happen, make sure you're involved in a serving team and something else. Because I'm telling you, we are committed to grow. And I would ask, if you're saying, Mark, I don't want to just do this life. I don't want to just carry on. I want to grow in my knowledge of God. I want to grow in the gifts that He's put inside of me. This is a huge vehicle for us. And is that good? Is that encouraging? And then the last thing we said, we pioneer again. We, in tough economic times, in an area and a church that is very middle income and many double incomes and people are under pressure, we felt God call us to call the church to give so we could sow. And to be honest, it took us a while. It took me a while. I had to hear God. I felt like we heard God. And I want to feedback today because I've just got back a couple of weeks ago and we've had time to process. But we've had time to process exactly how we want to spend the money and spend what you have sown as we can sow it. Firstly, I want to say thank you. I'll say thank you to God for His goodness and His grace. But I want to say thank you to this incredible community who have given, who have sown, who have sought into yourselves. And I trust for the blessing and the favor of God in this thing for you as we have given and as we have pioneered and as we have trusted God in the story. Thank you for the five rands to the more. We trust that God would pour out. But we have sat under this and now comes the responsibility with the eldership team. Say, well, how do we allocate this money? And we have decided, we spoke about two main things. The first one being a missional, that God has called us to be a going, growing people on a story, and we want to sow for future missions. And the second one is that we want to sow beyond our borders. Yes, Rion, we haven't even told you yet. So you're reading a slide. But the first one is we want to sow for future mission. We are going to take 50% of that money and sow it into future mission. And it looks like a couple of real practical things, but those real practical things are there to host people, to welcome people. The first one is we are looking at doing alterations at the back here. We've already done some. So I don't know if you even noticed, there never used to be walls here. But we didn't have storage. So the walls aren't there to actually make the hall look sexy. They were there because we needed storage. Places to put my children. No, it's not it. But sound equipment and chairs and all sorts of other stuff. And so we had to dream up, say, God, how do we do this now? So that's what we built. I think it looks quite cool. And then we said we're actually putting some of those finances into seed money for the alterations plans that we need to do at the back. We need to open up because as more people come in, this building wasn't built for much of what we are handling now. And as we dream again, we need to do that. So we are building and investing into that. Then Milnerton have planted, and we sent them with the sound desk that most weeks it only works when it's three hits on this side and one hit on this side. And it's been difficult for them. And we are investing now. We are buying them a sound desk from this money. So I'm saying thank you. I want to feedback that this goes into mission. It goes into reaching and serving people. And we are investing in our kids' facilities. We've already done that. You'll see some of the if you walk into the kids, if you never go to the back, you're scared to go in the kids' domain, don't be. They don't bite. Only some of them. You've got to watch out for the biters. But there's grass, and we've invested in some of that. And lastly, we want to invest into our people, and we want to give to some of the poor, some of the struggling in our midst. It already happens. We've created facilities to do that with our general finance as it is, but we want to continue to sow. Just so you're aware, I don't think this is about secrets or this is about telling you where we are, that we give you feedback, say thank you, and say, actually, let's partner in this journey and this story. But then we're going to take 50% of the money that was given and give it away from ourselves. And these are the areas we feel we want to give it to. The first one, we want to invest into areas of social justice, and we just want to start with the ministries that we know well we are investing in, and that is Site 5 and Recycle Swap Shop. If you don't know either of those, jump on the website, jump on the Facebook pages, chat to Maria and Maria around Recycle Swap Shop that has just become a part of the Domino Foundation, is so excited. And on the other side, if you want to get a part of some work that's amazing and incredibly fulfilling and an opportunity to give, is to go into Dunoon and Site 5 with Wayne and Jen and the team that go. It's an incredible, incredible ministry. So we're going to give there, and then we want to sow into church planting. And we have one or two friends that we're looking at that are either looking to plant or have planted, and we would like to release some funds into there. So that's exciting. Can we just thank God for that and that story? And as we position it, and I've got to go really quick, we've got two big things that are really important. The first one is this, that we hold on to, and I said it when it was one of the first series we did in the Multiplied Life, that where there is the gospel, there is the implication of the multiplying nature of the gospel. And last year we planted a church. We're not planting a church as far as we know again this year. But we believe in releasing. We believe in multiplying. We believe in growth. But the caveat to that is really important, is that we don't focus on growth. We have to focus on health. Because we believe healthy things grow. We believe that healthy people become healthy ministers, become healthy disciples, and find themselves captivated by an amazing God. And so we want to make sure, and as we position and as we speak about some of these stories of, we want to pursue, be a church that pursues health, spiritual health, marriage health, financial health, health. There's some people who can help you if you need help in that area, to how to get disciplines. We believe that part of growing, part of the multiplying that will happen requires a health before that story. So it's just important to keep putting that in front of us and making sure that that's the story that we're on. Because what does our future require in a growing, multiplying story that needs health is actually, we need one heart. So Gabe and Fee are running a church in Milton, but they're part of us. And they see those videos and some of them, half that church that are there now have never been here. They don't know there's a building. Don't tell them there's aircon. But they don't know that sound desks actually work. And they are part of that, but that's their family. There's a lady in that community who, when we launched, heard that there was a church launching, got in a car. She came here because she thought it was here. People took him in their car to the launch in Milton. So since that day, she drives from West Beach past us to Milton. Every Sunday. You know why? Because she was a recluse before that. Her car has to be covered with a cover because she only went out once a week. Why do we plant churches? Because there are people out there and they need Jesus. And sometimes God's got to speak a story when we're comfortable and he challenges us like he did in Isaiah 49. He says, it is too small a thing. Too small a thing. What is too small a thing? God wants us to impact. I honestly believe the gospel is the most influential story in the world. We get to carry it. We get to take it. And it should have a growing, multiplying factor to it every time. I trust that's not just for your church. That's for your life. God is calling you to influence for his kingdom, for his glory. Please make sure. Why do I believe in serving? Because I believe discipleship happens. Because I believe health happens. And I believe, honestly, there are many people who actually have not learned to serve out there that might learn to serve someone here that they could serve someone out there. Does that make sense? So we're on a story and God is incredibly kind and I need to shoot ahead on a few things because I want to make sure that we get to it. But we have these four pillars and I was going to speak to them again because vision is nothing unless it's repeated consistently. And I'm scared to ask if we know the pillars, so we're not going to do that because we don't talk about it all the time. But the first one that is very big for us, and I don't have time to engage to it, we'll speak about it, is passion for God. We have nothing unless we have a passion for God. We have nothing unless we have his presence in the midst of us. Our excitement, our zeal, sorry, is that me? Our excitement, our zeal, our passion, it leans to nothing and leads to nothing unless it is centered on a passion for his praise and his glory and his power. Secondly, like Gabe mentioned, we have a passion to reach the unreached. And yes, it planted 16 years ago with Wally and Shirley and Nan Jenny Lang just walking neighbor to neighbor saying, can we love you? Can we host you? And I trust it never leaves the DNA of this church. And some of the how might change. Some of how we do that and how we engage that might change, and we might grow, and God transforms us and takes us and adds different gifts to the flavor and the story. But when we lose that, I believe the church loses its power. We can lay hands on each other for years, but unless there's a burning to go out and impact the world, I think we're missing some of the big story that God pulls us into. Bigger than about us. It's into a big story called the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, actually, you exist for something so much greater. And so we keep that in our lens. And as we process everything we do, from how we spend finances, to how we employ, to how we structure diaries, everything, these have to be the lenses. The third one is discipleship. Jesus gave us a command, not an option. He said a command, make disciples who make disciples, who make disciples who impact the ends of the world. I'm going to give power for that story. I'll ask you right now, who are you investing your life into? Why life groups? Because it just helps and facilitates that process. But who are you giving your life away to? And maybe you say, well, Mark, it's a little bit messed up and I'm not quite there yet. And I would say to you, rubbish. You've got something of Jesus. You've got a story to tell of Jesus. You've got his word in you. One scripture, 10 scriptures, 1,000. You can walk with someone. You can love them. You can be a part of revealing Jesus to them. And I want to just say that discipleship, and I believe it, we've said it before, discipleship doesn't just start when someone crosses the line of salvation. It's like we're over there, now we're going to disciple them. I honestly believe we can disciple people before the cross, before they receive. We can walk with them. We can reveal Jesus to them. We can love them. We can serve them. Allow this to challenge us as we fix our eyes again on what Jesus is calling to us. And the last one is social justice. And again, we're on a journey here, and it's been slower than I'd hoped. But we want to be people who are involved in authentically changing our world. And it's a challenge, because we live in a nation with many challenges. But we have to be involved. While I'm on that, I got a very concerned email, and I'm really appreciated for it, that we will not be filling the pool. Firstly, because I don't want to flood the hall again. Secondly, we have water restrictions. So we do care about our city and our world. We are going to have a bath here. Like a freestanding bath. And we won't be in it with you. So, and then we're not going to sprinkle you. Just buckets of water over you. What do you say, Johnny? Should we do that thing? But I want to jump ahead now a little bit. And I've got to take where... And I've got literally 8 minutes to present something of a thought and a God unction in us for the year. And it looks like this. Behold and be bold. This song, Behold... The Lamb of God, behold the Son, behold the Father, behold, I have a friend, has gripped me. And I've gone into and I've understood, actually, my NIV Bible is not outstanding at taking that translation. In the New King James Bible, I think, and in the King James Version, it's like 1,600 times that word is used. In the NIV, it's about 8 or 9. They've replaced it with a couple of other words. And I want to say that there's something about, behold, give undivided attention. See, sometimes these Vision Sundays are a little easier when we're going to plant a church or we're going to do this. But actually, our greatest vision is to remind us of what we're on about. We are a people who behold Him, who give Him undivided attention. And when we give Him undivided attention, He begins to work in our lives, and I become to come like Him. I'm on a journey of becoming like Jesus. I'm still on that journey, and I've got a long way to go. But how I keep on that journey and in walking in His will and walking in His ways and walking in His life is I keep my eyes fixed on Him. I behold Him. I give Him undivided attention. As a church, we want to make sure that we give the King of Kings undivided attention. And I would ask even now, do you give Him undivided attention? Because it's a choice. That's what I've realized. I used to get good at making excuses. How busy life is and kids wake up at 5:15 and all of these crazy things. And I realize, but I still got a choice. Every day I have a choice to behold Him or not. I would ask, would you behold Him as a community and as a church? We want to become a people that behold Him because it's key for our future. But that beholding has to translate to something. When I look at the Word of God, and I was going to read a whole section from Acts 4, but go and look at it. It's the section of Peter. Let me jump in. It's Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. And who is Peter? He's this guy who wimped out. If you know Peter's story, he was one of Jesus' disciples kept close. He wimped out of the story. God fills him with the Holy Spirit, comes upon them at Pentecost. And then they walk on, they begin to preach. And the leaders and the authorities of the day come up against them. And he says, do you want me to stop? Do you want me to listen to you? Or do you want me to obey the one who is on high? And preaches the gospel. And the result is 5,000 people get saved in the story. They get pulled into the story. And it says the people go and they were preaching the gospel with boldness. Because when the Spirit of God comes upon a man or a woman, I think of Esther. She kept on coming up against the king, but every time she got a little victory, she could have backed down. I've got my little victory. I've got to protect my space. God kept on coming upon this young lady with boldness. Think of the prophet Elijah and what he called to, and he comes up against the prophets of Baal. 400 prophets saying, nah. He says, actually, put those sticks down, and actually, don't just put the sticks down. I'm going to throw, why don't you throw water all over it? Because my God is glorious. I know my God. I have beheld my God. I have seen his face. I have looked into his eyes. And I know that even wood in the middle of a pit of water will catch a light because God is glorious. There's a boldness that has to come upon us. And I feel like it's something God wants to do us as a people, actually in our area as well. There's got to be a boldness to rise above. To rise above. Sitting with people and they're saying, I've got these dreams. I'm going, well, why are the dreams held back? No, well, I'm waiting for God. No. Actually, sometimes God comes upon us like he did on Peter to persevere. They walked and they're walking and they're walking. The guy needs a healing and they heal him. And they say, well, why did they heal him? And the observation of the people watching is they had been with Jesus. Uneducated men. They had no legal authority. They had no studies. They had nothing to do that miracle, to have that influence, to start leading people. They didn't have it. Let me tell you, life changes, there's a whole bunch of things we don't have that we need that would make sense for us to have for the story. And yet God's saying, are you going to let that stop you? Or are you going to behold me? And in beholding me, find a boldness for a story that I'm calling you to. Here's one of the stories God's calling us to have boldness for, a multicultural story that works because the church needs them. Honestly, I went to a church recently, a big church. 98% one color. And something in me grieves. And this is not a political statement. This is a gospel truth. The church, as a prophetic people, has to find boldness in Christ. To find our ways through the barriers that separate us. Has to find in his eyes the love and the grace to get over ourselves and pioneer into something that looks glorious. And somehow it just happens when we keep our eyes on him. Doesn't happen when this is how we're going to do it. That doesn't help. It happens when we keep our eyes on him. Is that all right? And there's a whole bunch of challenges and I need to shoot, but I want to share some of the things that God is calling us to as we move forward. And the first thing, as we behold and we be bold, God is calling us to a number of things. The first thing is we want to be the best church for the city in care. I'm not going to be able to speak through a whole lot of that, but the truth is we could be doing a whole lot better. And there's a couple of limitations. That's fine. Thanks, Fritz. That slide. Don't need to put the next one up. There's a whole bunch of challenges, and one of them is that actually we have to re-look at and massage the truth that we're a priesthood of all believers. Living stones that have the life of God birthed inside of us. And actually, it's not about the man of God or the man of the power of the hour or that person. It's about God's people and who are operating and ministering. Inside of you, sir or ma'am, there are gifts. I don't need to know you to know that. I need to know the gospel to know that. And inside of those gifts are wrapped up in a whole bunch of things. And part of our job is to unfold and release. Because I'm telling you, there are far better marriage counselors in this room than I am. And I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of things. And what we are intentionally doing and have been doing behind the scenes and as we look forward is a care strategy. First, to make sure that we are caring for the sheep that God has called us to look after, because we're called to do that. And then create other care strategies for our future. Exciting. And I'm really shooting through. So we're going to have to massage a whole bunch of these things. But in that story is a desire for radical futures. A radical futures. which means we've got to find ways of caring for people. And I'm telling you, as churches grow and as God does things, we've got to get better at making sure that we can spread the load. And it's not, I'm not trying to get out of caring for people. It's what I put my hand up to do, and I'll always do it. But actually, you need way more than me. And to employ another pastor who people can sit with, I'm telling you, theologically, I have a challenge because God has called us to hold people with wide arms. We need multiple arms to do that. The second thing is raise and release leaders. And again, not a lot of time on this, but leaders don't just happen in stories. Leaders don't just pop up. Hi, I'm a leader. I'm here. We've got to spend time investing. And so leadership development, and the reason we put it off this month is we want to make sure that it's positioned well and that it'll be an intentional track available once a month on a Thursday night to raise and equip leaders for our future. And here's what they look like. Business people. We're not leaders who preach. We're looking people who plant businesses that just happen to give glory to God. People who build schools. People who get stuck into the mess of our world. We want to see those leaders raise and equip. Secondly, or thirdly, life groups. With the lens and the pillar of discipleship, we are going to drum life groups. Not because we believe that it's the only vehicle, but we just believe that growth happens there. In 20 years of church leadership in my life, I've only witnessed massive growth in that context of doing life in small groups, whether it's a life group or smaller group of some form. And I would highly encourage you to go on the website, check out. I think we have just under 30 life groups, which is amazing. Some really fancy photos of the guys on the websites. Go have a look. Go eat their food. Go drink their Milo. Use their 2-ply. Whatever it is. That's what they're there for. It's 2-ply, huh? Just not single ply. But we'll have a meeting this week. And then the last thing is, and we've been talking about it for a while, but we have to do something with our front area. Because we believe part of who God has created us to be is to host our city well. To host means to welcome the stranger. And our building is becoming difficult as parking is becoming difficult. We're trying to understand that. We're trying to grow. And we trust 2017 is the year we have to land that. It has to be done. So I want to position some of those things. And then why the big 2020 signs here? Is as we spoke about this, behold and be bold, we realize, actually, we want to put some bold things out there. We want to look ahead. I want to look ahead and say, actually, I want to be bold about what could God do in 4 years? What could he do? It's a big thing. It's like, oh, now he's touching some things. And I'm not a numbers guy. If you know me, I'm not a numbers guy. I want to talk about an advancing story that we trust God to open up. We have people driving through from town. We have life groups in town. Maybe God's calling us to have another community, which we need leaders for, which we need mature believers for, which we need help for. What if we could have another site in the city of Cape Town to impact? What if that site is not in... if it's in a completely different demographic? What if that's what God's calling us to? How cool would that be? Does that make sense? Just throwing this out then, as we dream about 2020, we have a city, we have a nation that needs the name of Jesus. It needs more churches who are full of his spirit, full of his life, empowering and looking to seek and save the lost, that they would encounter. What about a care center? And I know there was a whole plan for this land next door here, and I've seen the plan, I've looked at it, and I feel the courage of God welling up again to say, would you care for your city? And I'm saying, by 2020, I would love to see us having some form of a care center where we could look after. I met people who this week, amazing couple, they are been pioneering in caring for people in the nation. They have 50 volunteers and 10 full-time staff just counseling and caring for people in our city. Just people with a vision, people with a dream, people who God called out of small stories into something big. And I'm like, God, you could do that with us. Vision 2020. We want to release materials. Even what we found is that we're doing life group materials as we've poured them out. And even there, we've had limited availability to do it. We've had churches asking, can they use those things? And it's like, wow, really, God? And so churches are taking our life group materials and blogs that guys have written and taking that into church stories. We want to serve the world. And if we can help some churches that are outside of our nation and in our country, we want to release materials. And here's the thing as well. I think guys like Jerry need to write songs. And we need to release those and find ways of releasing those. Guys like Lee, Michelle, others. So we want to be part of that. And then the last word that God keeps speaking to us that we cannot not take a hold of is social justice and an influence in the city. And here's the thing. Please don't leave this one off to, the mercy-hearted guys. Those guys. You know, the guys who cry like when they see an orphan. Like, please go watch the movie Lion. Little punt for a movie. I have no shares in the movie at all. Just watch it. If you don't cry, come and talk to me. But it's about orphans. But it's like we kick this one out too. I'm telling you, God needs strategic business people who maybe hearts aren't moved and don't want to hold hands with a little orphan who's dirty and got snollies running down his nose. But actually God wants to use your gifts to engage with people who are touching hands so that actually we can impact a city and change a city. Otherwise we're staying. It's too small a place. And so God's got to challenge us and move us from our smallness into something of our bigness. And lastly, Luke 5. And Jesus just tells them, chuck your net on the other side. And you know what happens, I hope. They catch this amazing large haul of net of fish. And they signal to their partners on the other side, come, we need help. We need help. Five ways we can help and partner. We don't speak of members. We don't have members in this church. We have partners. And we're all partners. A couple of ways we can help. Leadership. Take responsibility for one person. Love them. Such an amazing thing. A man came to me. He's newish to the church. He came to me on Sunday and I said, I've met this other young man. I want to be a part of his development. I want to give time. I want to give finances. And I want to create opportunity. I'm going, please do it. He's not a leader in the church and you haven't heard him ever speak. Please do it. Get stuck in, partner, serving, praying. We're doing a series on prayer now. God is challenging us to behold him again, and one of the primary ways we do that is prayer. So this is our Vision Sunday. It's not fancy, it's not sexy, we're a simple people. We really, really are. And I want us to remain a simple people. But I want God to keep challenging us. I want God to keep calling us to more. And I'm asking God, change my heart. As I behold you, would you continue to fashion this factory of all sorts of other thoughts to a heart that beats for you. It gives you glory in every way, in every shape, in every form. Is that right? Are you excited? This is not about Aurora. This is giving us vision for our future. And so we're excited. We trust in God for big things. Honestly, big things. And actually, the keys to unlock those big things, they're sitting on your seat. Yes, that's you. Some of you are like looking at me like, sitting on. Yeah. It's you. Can we pray? And I'm going to hand over to Quinton. And then, please excuse me, I've got to shoot across to Milmerton as we continue to build. Lord, give you all the praise, all the glory. This is your house. This is your people. This is your church. But lift our eyes again to see you. Thank you for every cent given for sowing in some. And I ask, God, give us wisdom and clarity how to release that and multiply it. I ask, would you multiply it? I ask, God, move our hearts from comfort again, Lord, because we so quickly default to it, and call us back to the big story of your gospel and your grace that continues to fashion and shape. And I pray for us as a people, God, that we would be a people captivated by the King of Kings. Not captivated by mission. Mission is nothing without a Savior. Not captivated by buildings, churches planted, numbers on a board. Captivated by your glory, your grace, and your goodness. We behold you again today, God. And I pray, fill us with boldness as we remain in that place. We worship you, King. Amen.